T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Nobody is going to hit as hard as life, but it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We've made it to the weekend.
No, we still got to work for an hour, huh? No, what? Get it? What? Explain to me. I don't even know what that
song
was.
Song is by The Weeknd.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so Brayton's playing The Weeknd Fridays at 9 because we've made it to the weekend.
I like still that. Want the Monday, Tuesday, the name of the every name of the day song, whatever that was.
Every name of the day song?
Every name of each day song, whatever. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday song, whatever that was.
Friday, I'm in Love.
Is that what it was?
By The Cure?
No
or
idea.
Anything about Friday, got to get down on Friday by Rebecca Black?
That's the one!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I miss that song. All right, we're in a... about 15 minutes, we'll tap into the Zoom call that the Bills are going to have with defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, and we'll talk Bills football here as well, because yesterday, among the stories this week, of course, the Sean McDermott extension, then the Deion Dawkins extension, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, Trey White, Matt Milano, the cap, all the different stuff floating around here, and how Brandon Bean's going to make all this work. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Michael Jannetty, and we've had him on a few times, and we always tell you, if you're interested to find out contracts and cap and all the stuff, and you want to know, SpotTrack is the site. SpotTrack.
That's where I went today to find out how much money George Kittle had made in his career before.
Tells you that too.
His big contract.
Tells you everything. Fantastic site. And I'm not saying that because Michael's on the Wester hotline, but it is. Michael, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show again.
Morning. My pleasure, guys. Thanks for the intro.
Just to give everyone the answer to that, George Kittle's entry-level contract paid him a total of $2.7 million. So this extension for $75 is a big win for him.
I think when he signed the GE on the contract last night, before he got to the ORGE, he made $2.7 million. Michael, you know what I did yesterday? I knew we were getting you on the show, so I went back in my old emails, and we had you on the show, I think, in February, and we were talking about projected contracts for some of the Bills guys that they were going to start working on. One of them was Dawkins, and the AAV that comes out, 15, was right around where you had, projected it out in February. So did the contract go kind of how you thought it would in terms of cap fit?
I think it's perfect. I think it's exactly where, you know, everything is going. If it was supposed to be 16, you know, when all this thing started in March, and it's 15 now because of the revenue drop and the likely cap drop next year, I think that's perfect. It's just another win for Brandon Bean, in my opinion. 50% guaranteed. That's right on the dot as well. This is a good contract. I mean, you're talking about a player who hasn't made much. Deion Dawkins is in that camp, so this is good money for him. He's aligned now contractually with Josh Allen as well. That's important. So I just think it's win-win for the entire Bills offense here.
The overall situation, and I know some of this we're going to get into, it's hard to really quantify because no one knows what the cap's going to be next year. But in general, we knew the Bills were in very good cap shape going into this offseason. How are they right now?
Yeah, it's honestly about the same. They haven't done too much up and down. You know, a couple of veteran releases and signings that kind of canceled each other out. So it's still about, you know, 20 and change right now, not including whatever happens with this Dawkins contract. I imagine there'll be a little bit of a bump from a cap perspective, but not much. So there's certainly space to work with right now. The problem is, and you alluded to it, everybody's sort of pulling back right now because of what's coming in 2021. We're all assuming there's going to be some sort of cap dump. You know, if it gets all the way down to $25 million, down to $175 million, which is the number they've floated out there, then some teams are really going to have to scramble. Buffalo's not going to be one of those teams. You know, there's moves they can make right now to even make themselves in better shape, but they're going to be on the better side of this no matter what happens to the league.
Without making my head explode, and everybody's head explode, when it comes to the cap and next year, even if there's a drop, space you have this year can be rolled over into next year, correct? So you also have that to work with?
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, they've got 82 players on their roster right now, and they've still got about $7 million to work with those 82 players. So once this thing gets cut down to 53, 55, and then, you know, some practice squad players as well, they're going to be in great shape, in my opinion. I do think there's a couple of players around the bubble that can even help that this offseason. But, yeah, they're going to roll over whatever they have. They're going to make some moves and make sure that they're in good shape for next year. I'm not worried about Buffalo right now in 2021.
So let me get to this, and I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. I did want to talk to you about Milano projections and Trey White projections, but one of those guys that could be a cap cut for business purposes, it would seem to be, would be Trent Murphy. That would open up a lot of space. Could the Bills make Milano and White and all the, could they do everything we want to do and still keep Trent Murphy, or do they really need to make that move to have more space to work with?
It's a great question. You know, it's not one, I don't want to put words in Bean's mouth, of course, but, you know, look, we've just seen the Kansas City Chiefs go from $177 of cap space to signing Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Travis Kelce to gigantic contracts. So the cap is a bit of a myth in that regard. You can certainly make it work if you need to. It's really just a negotiating tactic at that side of it. But, yeah, they're going to want to free up some space if they're going to give Tre'Davious White $90 million. That's for sure. You know, that's one of the chips that's going to have to fall. I'm not super worried about Milano's contract. I think it'll be a little bit more tempered, you know, maybe a smaller version of what Deion Dawkins just got, to be honest with you. But, yeah, look, at Trent Murphy's, he's a bubble player for sure. There's $8 million to be saved right there, you know, if he's released before week one. That's a good chunk of money, whether you want to roll that over to next year or use it right now.
Who else? Murphy stands out, but as you look at the overall cap picture for the Bills, are there any other guys who would fall into the discussion of maybe this? Maybe he's a cap cut for space?
Well, anytime a team drafts a kicker, regardless of where what round it is, that always puts somebody on high notice. So I'm going to have to put Steven Hauschka in this conversation. They can clear about $1.5 million of cap to release him as well. The problem there, and I'll put Murphy back in this conversation too, yes, it's about clearing space for next year because of this cap drop, but also this COVID situation requires depth. I mean, you're gonna want to have depth in a lot of these positions. So, you know, while Murphy, from a football standpoint, might be on the outside looking in right now in some degree, you're going to want depth on that defensive line as well. So, yes, these guys from a business standpoint, I think, are on the bubble, but maybe not from a football standpoint right now.
Milano, okay, let's go to him and Trey White. What projection would you have around now if they wanted to and were able to work out an extension for Matt Milano?
Yeah, you mentioned we talked about this in the earlier in the year here. I don't think that needle has moved too much. I still think it's about $13 million for him in terms of an average salary. Maybe the guarantees have come up a little bit. We've seen some really impactful contracts, especially over the free agency season. You know, the 50% mark is pretty much where we're at with most of these contracts from a guaranteed standpoint. So if you're going, you know, 4 for $50 on Milano and you want to give him $25 million guaranteed, you know, up front, I think he takes it, knowing where he's coming from financially. I think it's another good deal for the Bills. So I don't think the needle's moved too much on Milano.
Okay, now let's get to the big one. You said $90 million. So Trey White would set the market for corners with that contract?
Yeah, I was hoping Jalen Ramsey would do it first because then there'd be a foundation in place. But I don't think the Rams want to pay anybody any more money right now. They've been scared into submission, I think, out there with their contract. So it sounds like Tre'Davious White's going to be the next big cornerback to fall. And the numbers are gaudy. I mean, Byron Jones reset this whole thing in Miami on a really cash-heavy contract. So you're talking $60 million over the next 3 years for the next great cornerback, and I think that's going to be Trey White.
And the Bills and I guess, well, this is when getting into how the agent thinks, too. I wonder, would the agent want to do that? Would they want to do it now? He's got, technically, the Bills have control over Trey White for 2 more years, and you factor in the cap and the COVID and all this other stuff. I wonder what the mindset is from the Bills side, Michael, and from the agent side of when is the right time to strike that deal.
I thought about this a lot because I was worried if I was going to have absolutely nothing to do this offseason because contracts were just going to shut down and nobody was going to want to make any moves. And that could not have been more untrue, right? I mean, we've seen some gigantic contracts over the past month and a half here. So I'm putting that aside. And if I'm the Bills, because I've really got 2 contracts to worry about now, I've got Trey now and I've got Josh Allen available next year and in the same boat. I can control him for 2 to 3 more years here if I want to with the franchise tag. So if I'm comparing those two, I'm choosing Trey White right now. I'm going to do it right now because I'm pretty confident that he's a superstar right now. And maybe I don't feel that way about Josh Allen yet. I like what I have, but I know that I need to give this one more year on Josh Allen. So if I'm the Bills, I'm trying to get this done right now. And I know that's going to be a lot of money up front right now, but I get it done now. And then I worry about Josh Allen if I have to in 2 years and when I'm more confident about throwing around $150 million. But I think the Bills want to do it now, and they're going to have to go big. There's no team-friendly deal with Trey White, in my opinion. So in that regard, the agent should be all in.
With Allen, so yeah, I mean, do you have a feel for for the numbers then with Allen? I know you just threw a big one out there. Or is that dependent upon what happens with Prescott? He's playing under a 1-year tag. What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? I don't know, maybe we throw Lamar Jackson in here, but he's got an MVP trophy on his resume. So do you have any kind of feel for Allen, or is that still to be determined?
It's TBD for a lot of reasons. The Prescott conversation is interesting because, you know, we can't quite tell what Dallas thinks of Dak Prescott. We know contractually they don't love him enough to just throw a ton of money at him and hope it works out. We know that for sure. So I don't think the Bills sit in that camp. I think it's a better situation than the Dak situation. We certainly leave Mahomes out of this conversation. There's nobody in that camp right now. And Deshaun Watson is going to be, I think, way above Josh Allen's market. I think Watson pulls in a $40 million contract over the next couple of weeks here and doesn't look back. So maybe Lamar's in that camp as well. So it's really about his current class. It's where is Baker Mayfield next year? It's where is Sam Darnold next year, which maybe might not be a great comp at the end of the day here. But it's those kind of guys. And to be honest, I've got Josh Allen in like a Kirk Cousins land. Kirk Cousins gets a lot of money to put up a lot of stats and win a good amount of games but not get to the Super Bowl. That's sort of the Josh Allen camp right now. He hasn't gotten to the finish line, of course. But statistically speaking, Josh Allen's going to be right up there. So, you know, if we're talking $33 to $35 million, I think that's about right for Josh Allen right now.
The final thing I wanted to backtrack, I forgot. When Jeremy and I were talking about Trey White, Jeremy brought up the point about the gap. I'm going to guess, Michael, when it comes to contracts, the edge rusher is typically the highest paid guy on the defensive side of the ball. If that's the case, where is cornerback? Has it become the second highest paid position? What kind of gap is there between corner and edge rusher? And is that something Trey White's agent and agents for Jalen Ramsey and other corners are trying to close in their negotiations, that gap?
There's no question. It's why Laramie Tunsil pushed so hard for $22 million a year as an offensive left tackle. That's what everybody's trying to do. They're trying to bring themselves up to these top echelon positions because most of them, you know, there's 4 or 5 that really belong in that conversation, and certainly the cornerback is one of them. What the quarterback has always tried to do is they've tried to align themselves with the top wide receiver pay. So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the Jalen Ramseys of the world say, well, if I'm guarding somebody who makes $20 to $22 million a year, which that's Julio Jones, Amari Cooper right now, then the top cornerbacks in the league should be paid as such. So, yeah, you're going to see them pushing up to $20 million if possible. I think 18 is the baseline right now.
Wow, I never thought about – I understand every contract can affect other contracts, but I never thought about wide receivers affecting the cornerbacks. That's an interesting point. I will have to remember that now. It is a great site. It is SpotTrack. If you ever need to look at anything with contracts, SpotTrack is the place to go. Michael, thanks again for giving us your time.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.
You too. Thank you. Michael Jannetty with us on the Westar Hotline. If he gets $90 million, people are going to want like 5 interceptions a game from Trey White. Anyway, nice to know that the Bills are in good shape. So if they wanted to get a Milano extension done and get a Trey White extension done, assuming the agent wants that for those guys, that they still have some cap space they can still operate and maybe even not have to worry about jettisoning a guy like Trent Murphy for more space, rollover space, what have you. Good news. See, they're in a good place to continue doing their business. Leslie Frazier? Okay, Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator, is starting a Zoom call. Let's join in.
Defense. There's a do it now mindset. Just because you guys return so many starters, you bring in some great new pieces to this defense. So what has your message been to your defense in this training camp heading into the season?
Good morning, Maddie. We're just trying to get better every day. That's been my message to the guys. I mean, it's everything about this season is just so different than anything we've ever experienced. And so because of that, the goal is just day by day to try to get better. You're trying to make up time from some of the things you missed this off season. And if we can get better every day, it'll help us to be able to reach our goals as a defense.
And how have you seen some of these new players grab hold of the defense now that you guys are doing walkthroughs and things like that, and you're through this ramp up period, putting on the pads on next week?
The guys have really done well. Our coaches did a terrific job of introducing this system to them during the off season on the Zoom format. And to be able to come now and walk through some of the things we've been talking about, it seems like the new guys have really integrated themselves extremely well with the past guys on our team. And they seem to have a good feel for what we're asking them to do. Now, we're going to, for the first time, begin to start going fast now. So we'll really find some things out. And even more so once we put pads on.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Yes, no problem.
Hi, Coach. Sal Capaccio, WGR Radio. Great to see you.
Good morning, Sal.
I want to ask you about, you know, going through this before in your life in football. 82, you were a player, 9-week strike. 2011, you guys had a shortened offseason because of the lockout. Here, can you draw from those experiences and maybe even help players as far as, you know, how to keep their bodies in shape, keep their minds right? And does it give you a little bit more of a calming aspect in your own way that, you know, you have been through this before?
Yeah, you know, so it's funny you bring up the 82 season. We had Coach Joe Gibbs to come in and talk to our staff on Zoom during the off season about that 82 season. Of course, they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So we wanted to get a feel from him, you know, what it was like, the preparation, all the time apart as a staff from your players, kind of what we've gone through. And then once you come back together, you know, what's the message to the guys? And he did a really, really good job of just impressing upon all of us just to embrace this moment and look at it as an opportunity, because, you know, some teams aren't going to prepare as well as other teams. And we want to be one of those teams who's best prepared. And that gives you the best chance to succeed. So, we tried to draw on some of those experiences of what we went through in 82 and what we experienced in 2011 as well, and try to incorporate that into this without, you know, having any sense of panic, because eventually things will work out. And the teams that do embrace this and approach it the right way, those are the teams that will have the best chance to succeed in this, you know, new environment.
And just to clarify, I know that there was no Zoom in 1982. So you met Joe Gibbs. He was on a Zoom call with the entire team this offseason, basically?
With our coaching staff.
Gotcha. Thank you, Coach.
Yes, no problem.
Hey, Leslie, John Scott, good to see you.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good. Can't complain. It's actually, again, good to see you. It's been a bit. I wanted to ask you about the cornerback competition. The two main guys, it appears, would be Levi Wallace and Josh Norman. How do you size up that competition?
Well, with the experience that Josh brings to the table, that really sets him apart in a lot of ways. But he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder. Things didn't end the way he wanted them to end in Washington. So hopefully that'll bode well for us. Levi has done a really good job for us. He's continued to improve every year. And so I think it's going to be a really good competition, and we're going to benefit from that competition. Looking forward to when we start going fast, when we get the pads on, and just see how it all plays out.
What sort of conversations have you had with Levi now that this is the second straight year he's held the job and now had to see guys be brought in by the organization and come to camp and fight to keep what was his?
Yeah, you know, myself and John Butler and the rest of our defensive staff, we always talk to Levi. You know, people are going to look at him as the undrafted free agent. So you're going to find yourself in these situations, you know, maybe year in and year out. Someone trying to come in and say, I can beat out the undrafted free agent. And so I think that just really emboldens Levi to work hard and have a desire to show everybody, you know, maybe I wasn't drafted, but I'm as good as anybody else that you're going to bring in or better. And, you know, he practices that way and he plays that way. And it's good for us. I mean, he understands I can't ever relax.
Thanks.
Okay, John.
Hey, Leslie. Heather Prusak here. Good to see you. Hope all is well.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about how difficult was that to have those conversations with Star and EJ when they decided to opt out this season?
Yeah, you know, it was tough to hear the news. And and you know, I really, all of us are very supportive of both of those guys and what they're going through and having to make that decision. And that was what that was the message I wanted to convey, that we're very supportive. We understand, and we want the best for you and your family, and just wishing the best for them. It was not an easy decision for either one of them. And, you know, we wish them the best.
And then just one more question for you. I know Ed Oliver had a tough off season with, you know, the arrest and everything, but what have your conversations been like with him, just getting over that mentally, and then also on the football field, building off of that strong second half of last season that we saw?
Yeah, you know, Heidi, early on when the news came out and he shared his side of the story with me, you know, I felt really good in what he had shared with me, and just hoping it'll play out the way he described, and sure enough, it did. And so when the news came that he had been exonerated, you know, it just was a sense of relief. And his attitude and his approach to it, because all along he knew that he hadn't done some of the things that were out there, and just the way he handled it really made me proud of him, made our organization proud. You know, he's using this as a teachable moment for others who may find themselves in a compromising position. And so I'm really, really proud of the way Ed has handled this entire matter. As far as his growth, you know, we're looking forward to him being able to build on that, what happened during the second half of his first season. And there's been a lot of growth throughout this offseason, probably more from a maturity standpoint as a person. Really can't say athletically because we haven't had a way to quantify that yet. But we'll see that in days to come. But I can sense that maturity as a man, and that's going to be good for us and good for our organization.
Thanks, Leslie.
You're welcome.
Hi, Leslie. Matt Fairburn here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Sticking on that defensive line, I'm curious what you've seen out of Harrison Phillips this offseason. Obviously, he'll have a pretty big role with Starr's opt out. How's he looking, and what's his attitude been like through the rehab process?
Yeah, you know, so far, Matt, in these walkthroughs, you know, he's done everything that we would expect him to do. We gave him a little bit of a break yesterday, took some time off to kind of get him ramped up for today. But so far, so good. Now, the real test for him will be once we get the pads on and we're going live and he's in situations where he has to really, you know, take power and be able to plant and drive and push off and those kind of things. So up to this point, for what we've done, it's been great. But the true test will come in a few days.
How much are you, I mean, what can you say about where he left off and what it would mean to your defense if he's able to be back to that level he was before he got hurt?
Man, he was playing so well for us. You know, prior to that injury, he had a great training camp and was off to a good start in the regular season, really putting some pressure on the quarterback from the inside, which you always need. And so if he can build on that, if he can get back to where he was, and I mean, it'll be so good for our defense if he can. And we're all pulling for him for obvious reasons. And he's worked extremely hard this offseason. I've talked to Nate Bresky, our athletic trainer, a number of times about Harry and where he is and just seeing his development. If he can get back to where he was, it'll be terrific for our defense.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome, Matt.
Hi, Leslie. Good morning. Jay Skirsky with the Buffalo News. Cornerback depth in light of EJ Gaines deciding to opt out, you know, that's an issue that you can never have enough, right? You know, healthy cornerbacks, bodies at that spot. With that in mind, Dane Jackson, I know it's very limited in terms of what you've seen on the field from him. But he spent some time on the COVID list and he's back now. You guys prioritize making him a draft pick. What do you think is reasonable for expectations for him? And where do you see him maybe fitting into this picture, knowing, again, of course, that you haven't seen much of him on the field to this point?
Yeah, you know, it's such a wild card, Jay, without having had been around him during the offseason to get him through an offseason program. But if he could come in and give us some quality snaps in a backup role, that would be terrific, which would mean that our starters are staying healthy and they're on the field. And we're able to develop him as a pro. That would be optimum. Now, with the way things are, he may end up having to play at some point in games. And, you know, we're going to try to prepare him to do that. But we have not had much exposure to him, as you mentioned. But we're going to prepare him to be ready to play. That's our goal. And that'll start in earnest on the field today and in the days to come when we put pads on. But it would be really good for us if we got him to the point where he was confident enough to go into a game and play at a high level.
That is Bills defensive coordinator and assistant head coach Leslie Frazier on his Zoom call with the media. We'll have the call in its entirety. It's still going on. It's going to be in our on-demand audio at WGR550.com. And offensive coordinator Brian Daboll will be talking later this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have that in on-demand audio as well. One quick note to pass along before we go to break. From the world of hockey, good news for Claude Julien's front. You might have heard that he was taken to a hospital in Toronto yesterday, the Canadiens head coach, complaining of chest pains. John Shannon, Hockey Insider, has reported a stent was inserted into his coronary artery. Doctors expect a full recovery, and he is going to return to Montreal to recuperate. So that's good news for Claude Julien. Again, as they continue their series against the Flyers, Kirk Muller is taking over the head coaching duties on a temporary basis. Our coverage of Bills training camp on WGR, presented by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills, and brought to you in part by Mercedes-Benz of Buffalo, offering exceptional incentives on Mercedes-Benz vehicles. By New York's only outlet liquor, when you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Syracuse football is in the news today and last couple days. The players have not gone to practice. They want more protocols in place to protect the players. If you'll allow me real quickly.
Yes.
Of course some very smart individuals are going to Syracuse University. Of course.
I can't
these
believe I walked into that.
Well, walk into it. It's a great school. These kids are smart. They know what's up. Earlier this morning, I tweeted a column from The Atlantic that was about, it's titled, College Football's Great Unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how, you know, the college football debate right now, the conversation. Do you find that a lot of the conversation about college football is, like, not on the actual point and is around, like, doctors versus students and we want to play? Like, yeah, that's not really the main issue here. The main issue is that administrators and that these schools want to continue using these players like they always have.
Well, I think,
and they don't want to put in place protections and health care and all the thing. They could just do that, and then, you know, players would have protections. But they don't want to do that.
I think for me, it is watching an unbelievable change in the college football landscape, in the college sports landscape. A few years ago, whatever year it was, that Northwestern tried to get players to unionize. I saw that. I'm like, it's not happening. What are you guys doing? There's no way college sports stays the same coming out of this. There's no way. You already saw the image and the money that's going, you know, that they can control their image, their likeness, and some of these things. So to me, it is about the significant change that's coming. And maybe that does ultimately lead us to the separation of Division I, the so-called haves and have-nots. Mm-hmm. The Power Fives go off on their own, and the other conferences have their own set of Division I rules because they just can't keep up income-wise. To me, that's it. I mean, I think we are before our very eyes. And this might have happened, maybe it would have happened eventually whether we had a pandemic, but to me, it is the unbelievable overhaul and change of the college sports landscape as we knew it growing up.
It's always been my opinion, I shouldn't say always, but that the idea that Division One will separate and Power Five will separate, they already have. They have for a
they
long
are,
time.
But they're still technically together in FBS.
Walk around a facility. Mm-hmm. Well, it'll create haves and have-nots.
Oh, my
Trust
goodness.
Me.
Right.
There are haves and have-nots.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, look, no offense to UB, but come on, if you walk onto the campus at Ohio State University, and I've been to Michigan State games, and they're not in the same as Ohio State. You walk there, and then you see the MAC schools come. I mean, no offense. I'm not trying to be a jerk to the MAC, but there is definitely a clear delineation in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Less so in college basketball, but for sure in college football.
Right. I'll just read you a quick passage here from The Atlantic about this piece, College Football Falling Apart. It's a little bit of a you can make a comparison to the country, that what this pandemic has done has revealed great inequalities among, you know, quality of health care in different parts of the country, and, you know, how policies in some states are different from others, and there's no real great federal plan, just like the NCAA doesn't
football.
Have an
right.
overarching plan
mm-hmm.
for football.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things here is a barrage of lawsuits about pay and liability have put the NCAA on the defensive. Any special treatment players receive, removing them from conventional college housing, giving them a special clearance to do classes online, restricting their access to bars and parties, is potential ammunition in court.
Mm-hmm.
It's ammunition for students, faculty, and staff. If their university admits it can't keep players safe in regular conditions, why is everyone else being forced into them?
Yeah, I think it's funny.
That's it.
You brought up...
I'm sorry, real quick.
No, go ahead.
It's amateurism.
Right.
That's what it is. It's not even really... I mean, sure, it's about the pandemic, but the pandemic has brought to light amateurism. You know they're not amateurs.
Oh,
if
God,
you wanted
yeah.
college football, you could bubble them, but then that would require admitting that they're not amateurs and they're
right.
not regular students,
right.
and you'd have to remove this, you know, vacuous term of student-athlete, ambiguous term of student-athlete,
yeah.
and have to admit that these guys are revenue generators for your schools. And the other piece, and this is the one that I highlighted, is that, you know, instead of paying players, what schools have done is, quote, use myriad accounting tricks to make the legal argument that their athletic departments don't have much money on hand at all. Among them, pouring the profits into facility upgrades like weight room DJ booths and indoor waterfalls in locker rooms. Right. To say there's not money for the players? I mean, I don't want to pick on UB. I'm not going to pick on UB, so let's pretend I'm not picking
the group
on
of UB. Five schools.
I have a question for you about UB.
Go ahead.
Who paid for the rings?
Who paid for the...
Their championship rings?
Oh, I saw those were nice. I didn't know you got those for winning a ball game.
Who pays for those?
I assume it comes out of the athletic department budget, unless you can get some alums to give you money. Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
it's enough to make me
wonder about any school.
Those were sweet rings, by the way.
Right. If you're Alabama, you win the national championship, and all the guys get championship rings. Like, who pays for that?
Oh, come on.
Boosters pay for that?
Don't you ever see the videos of Alabama, the Alabamas of the world, the Clemsons, and look at their locker rooms and their workout facilities and all the stuff they have for student athletes and go, that's a professional facility.
Of course it is. They're better.
Yeah.
In some cases, they're better than professional facilities because, you know, a professional facility is trying to make money and some of the money goes back to the owner of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're a college, every dollar has to go into building the facility and building the university.
I think for years, if you didn't know that college sports was operating as an amateur in name only, there's no way you would have buried your head in the sand. Of course we know that. And as I said, it's much more of a stark contrast in football than basketball. And look, UB can make the NCAA tournament and win some games in basketball. In football, I mean, a group of five team can, you know, seriously being considered in the national picture and a CFP team. It just doesn't happen on a regular basis. Now, so that's why I think ultimately we're going to head to a split. I can't see how it doesn't happen. But to your point, too, about the lawyers and the legal side of things, to me, one of the more laughable things through this the last month or so was how, you know, the whole thing of, well, you know, we might have football season even if athletes or even if students aren't on campus because there's so much money on the table. They will, the TV contracts and all this stuff. And then you have people saying, well, you can't do that. That's a bad look, because then you'd actually be admitting you're not an amateur sport. You brought your players back and have them on campus even when students are doing online learning because you need the millions generated by football. Did anybody think it wasn't the case?
Right.
Does anybody not understand that?
Yep.
So that's why I said to me that some of it is really funny, but I think there is a long overdue adjustment coming to college sports, whether it is a players association with bargaining representation that outlines, you know, money that comes to the student, health insurance for the student, coverage beyond your college football playing career if you don't end up going to the pros and get health coverage from their players association. I think that is coming. It's just a matter of when. And it's a lot sooner than I ever would have thought.
And to the point about, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, two of the biggest stars saying we want to play. I mean, every player wants to play. They love playing football. You know, you could say they want an education. They want their degree. But for guys like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, like, what are they doing?
Right.
The system uses them and makes money off of them. Mm-hmm. And they use the system
to get, money
get drafted
himself.
High.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Guys that are at the top are going to get their money eventually. But, you know, the second string offensive lineman isn't necessarily going to make the pros. And for the guys at the top, sure, you're getting the big stars and their voices do matter, but those guys are not the normal story.
No.
So what college football wants to try to do and what these programs want to try to do is let's get these employees that we don't pay back in here so we can make our money.
Oh, my.
And yeah. Sure. Meanwhile, we have to worry about getting sued. So could we ask him to sign a waiver? Danny Cannell floated that idea.
Which you
you're
should
gonna
never
sign your life
do.
Away.
Never.
Of course
do.
Not.
Not only do you not have any legal protection, but anyway, you have no representation. Now you're going to sign a waiver to get rid of any rights you might have in court?
Right. If they could ever just have flat out said, like, listen, you're just a cog in the machine. We're making all the money. We're getting everything out of this. Please go back to work and do it for a sport that you love. Like, you can do it for a sport that you love and be compensated for the revenue that you generate.
I think one of the many things, look, on the table, you know, when you bring up the idea of lawsuits and whether the athletes could sue, what about the general student body? What if a university says, okay, we're going to take the athletes, assuming they don't do this already, because I know there are athletic dorms on various campuses. We're going to take the athletes and we're going to build our own bubble. And we're going to keep them away from the student population. Okay. The athletes
How come I don't get a bubble?
Right. The athletes have no positive tests. They play football season. And you all of a sudden, you have a massive outbreak among your general student population. And you have to shut the school down. Joe Smith's parents aren't saying, hey, man, why didn't you protect my kid? He, you know, he's an economy major, an economist. You know, he's a bio major. Didn't he matter as much as the left tackle on the football team? They would be open for numerous lawsuits about that stuff.
Yeah. So it's exposed that. and there you go. And that's where we stand. And they can play football in a bubble.
Right.
Like the NBA, Adam Silver says they're even surprised how well it's worked. The NHL is doing just fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've seen you can do these things. For a professional business, You can't do it for an amateur business and expect these employees to work for free and to not protect them. And no one should ask the athletes to do that either.
Hey, by the way, the amateur business is going to see conferences and universities apply for loans to make up for the revenue they've lost. Like the Pac-12 is already talking about creating loans for the conference and the schools, maybe like $100 million loan that the conference would take out so it can make all this stuff work athletically, and then they would pay it back whenever games resume on a regular basis and they have their normal revenue stream. Well, get a break in. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Instigators, top of the hour, WGR.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Today is Friday. Here's
Happy Friday.
Busy weekend. Here's your schedule for
Today's
hockey.
Friday.
At least he confirmed that.
Today's Friday.
Figured that would be proprietary information they wouldn't want to share with anybody else. Here's your schedule. 2 o'clock, Arizona, Colorado.
2-minute warning.
On NHL Network. 3 o'clock, Montreal, Philly on NBCSN. 6:30, Vancouver and Saint Louis on NHL Network. Islanders, Caps at 8, NBCSN. Dallas, Calgary at 10:30 on NBCSN. You got NBA play-in game tomorrow at 2:30, Portland, Memphis. You got your PGA Wyndham Championship this weekend. You got your NASCAR Cup Series at Daytona Sunday afternoon. You got your F1 in Spain Sunday morning. You got your Jays at home at Salem Field this weekend against Tampa. 6:37 is the first pitch for tonight's game. I think that covers everything for the sports schedule this weekend. You got plenty of things to choose from, and you still got really good weather and a fabulous summer weekend to just do whatever you want to do. And you probably don't even have to cut the grass. It's not growing. So just chill out and have a good time this weekend. What are you doing this weekend?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Golf.
Maybe see some of the show.
Little golf.
I don't have any rounds in the schedule yet.
Have you not golfed since your 100 holes?
No, I've played plenty.
Oh, all right. I wasn't sure if you had continued your summer of golf activity.
Yeah.
Because your game was on an upswing last I checked.
Yeah, it's on a downswing since.
Well,
all right.
Hey.
Nothing too bad.
It's going to turn around. You have to keep the faith. It'll turn around.
I've got momentum.
Yeah, do you? Very good. Yeah.
Both game one overtime winners lost in game two. Right.
Yeah, that did.
Columbus beat Tampa.
Tampa, that's right.
Carolina beat Boston. Boston.
Yeah. Was it Dougie Hamilton, right, had the goal last night?
Yeah, he did have a goal.
I don't know. It's probably not even revenge if you're more than – you're what, one team removed from when Boston shipped you out?
I think it's revenge.
Is it still?
That's when he developed the reputation, right? He was supposedly bad or
– It's because he calls himself Dougie. I think if he was Doug, people would think he's serious. I'm just pulling stuff out of my rear end at this point. That means nothing. Should we wrap? Okay. Everybody have a great weekend, and we're back Monday morning at 6 talking about whatever happened over the weekend. See you.
Today's Friday.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.